Sunday, July 21st, Lennon and I went to St. Francis Xavier Church. Marie and Jim, even with Lucy not here, we and the baby are down at Astro World with the Scott Manns. Lyndon likes to go to Father Schneider's little church. Back at the house, he called Mr. Kellum and me in his room to try on the khaki outfits he had had made for us. And Mr. Frank, his San Antonio tailor. Never was there anybody who enjoyed more giving gifts. But he wants to see them tried on and at once and liked. To my pleasure, Jesse kept his on. The rare thing. Since for the 15 or so years that we've been trying to get him into ranch-type clothes, he persists in wearing his dark, conventional banker suit, which Lyndon calls blue velvet. We rode out to the airport to meet the convoy from Washington, and there was Bob Hardesty and his wife and four children, wide-eyed and eager, and the Harry Middleton. Lyndon thinks these two men might work in his office down here after January the 20th, and this is a get-acquainted trip. And there also arrived one of those problems which have enlivened our lives these 33 years. A new servant. A Chinaman. Lyndon had arranged to hire him in San Salvador without ever laying eyes on him, knowing that he spoke no English, a little Spanish. I had dismissed it from my mind as a bad dream that would probably never come true. And here he was, walking down the ramp. First, we asked him his name. The words that emerged were nothing that I could understand. I thought I heard Wong. So I said, "Mr. Wong, get in with us, and we'll try to find you a place to stay." Lyndon talked to him in Spanish, with much use of the hands, a little louder than usual, as though his problem were being hard of hearing. And neither of us had the vaguest idea how much Mr. Wong understood. Although, to my chagrin, he seemed to understand Lyndon better than he did me, and I think I know more Spanish. I suggested putting him in the new trailer. We opened the door. Alas, it was occupied. What a complex this ranch is. Main house, guest houses, trailers. I looked forward only gloomily to reassuming the role of hotel manager. We put Mr. Wong in the tiny trailer, and then loaded up the Hardesties and the Middletons, and Jesse, Marie, and Mary, and we went for a ride through the dance and the Martin. Back in time for a late big lunch. Linda returned from Houston. I took a nap. And then we went swimming. And while I had my hair done, finished going over the lengthy list of possible appointees to the Arts Council and the Kennedy Center. I wanted to make sure this last time that some well-qualified good friends of ours were appointed in these places, and I had asked the most knowledgeable people I knew, and it weighed in my mind a long list, and had produced, I thought, some good recommendations, which Lyndon could follow or not. Rebecca Hartness, Ruth Carter Johnson, Robert Merrill, Rudolph Serkin, and Jean Dalrymple. And then, in the late evening, when the work was finished, and Bernice had finished with my hair, too, I went to join Lyndon. He was already riding with the Hardesties and the Middletons. And we drove for an hour and a half, looking at rock houses. We stopped by the little one that I hoped that Roy White will buy sometime, Mr. Lindig's, almost within sight of ours. We wound up on the top of the Martin at sunset. These summer evenings are a joy to live. It's a time of long shadows. And as you look across the pastures, you can see the shadows that the trees cast. The changing light has a lovely quality. And it's the time of young fawns. They're running behind their mothers, often their twins, brown and dappled with white, and oh so cute. Once we passed a kindergarten, practically. Six little fawns and only one doe. Another time, we came upon the tiniest fawn of all. He must have been only a few hours old. He was running on shaky legs, and he lay down in a little mott of live oaks and curled up in a ball and hoped he was invisible, I suppose. We stopped and watched him, then drove on in the opposite direction so as not to frighten him. He was too tired to run anymore. But there are so many deer in the Martin that sometimes you can see 30 at a time, or even 40, and as many as 8 big racks of horns. And it is the time of little calves also. Two were born right in the trap in front of the cedar house. I wondered if the Hardesty children, city bred, were excited about that. It is also the time of mowing the Sudan, and bales of hay stacked in the fields, and the stubble faintly gold, especially in the late evening light. As we look out the dining room window at the long slope of land rising to the north and see the bales of hay piled up, and the cattle grazing farther up the hill. It's just a sight of plenty that does your heart good. And so we will have one more day of rest and return to Washington Tuesday.